Today, the Trump administration imposed new sanctions on several wealthy Russians and government officials, the latest in the tit-for-tat with Moscow after its interference in the 2016 U.S. election. President Trump also doubled down on his threats against China, saying he would levy tariffs on another $100 billion in its imports.
And there are more doubts today about the future of EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt. The New York Times is reporting that at least five EPA officials either resigned, were demoted, or asked for new jobs after they questioned Pruitt's spending at the agency. Pruitt's been under the microscope for housing arrangements he made with the wife of an energy lobbyist, his first-class travel arrangements, and a proposal to spend about $70,000 to replace two desks in his office. Last night, aboard Air Force One, President Trump backed up his top environmental deregulator.
Scott has done a fantastic job. I think he's a fantastic person. I just left coal and energy country. They love Scott Pruitt. They feel very strongly about Scott Pruitt, and they love Scott Pruitt.
Let's bring in our roundtable. Beth Fooey is senior politics editor at NBC. Hi, Beth.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure. And Jesse Holland, who reports for the Associated Press. Jesse, welcome.
How you doing today?
Fine, thanks. Jesse, how close is Scott Pruitt to looking for a new job?
I think I'm looking at my watch now, so we got about how long until 4:30? Yeah. It seems like we get the big news from the Trump administration on Fridays, and it seems like Scott Pruitt's on his last days. We don't know anything for a fact. You never can tell with the Trump administration, but whenever the president starts calling you a good man, when the president starts praising you, you can almost start the stopwatch from that point. So it would not surprise me if we hear something by the end of the day, but it may go on till next week as well.
And there's something else that figures into this, and that's that Scott Pruitt on Wednesday spoke with Ed Henry of Fox News, something that President Trump didn't like too much. Let's hear it.
President Trump said he would drain the swamp.
I don't
look is at, draining the swamp renting an apartment from the wife of a Washington lobbyist?
I don't think that that's even remotely fair to ask that question.
Really?
I have access.
President Trump attacked lobbyists every day of the week on the campaign trail.
And what is being done in substance? What is being done in substance to attack that? What is being done at this agency across the federal government? That's exactly right. And so when you see, look what we've done on cost savings.
The president is said not to be too happy with the way Scott Pruitt did in that interview. So what kind of a spot does this put the president in? He's saying that they have a good relationship, and Scott Pruitt is one of his best deregulators. Beth?
Well, and that is the issue here. I mean, unlike some of the other people who've been fired from the Trump administration, Tom Price, for example, the former HHS secretary who was flying around on those expensive flights, Scott Pruitt really has made good on the Trump administration promise to cut regulations around the environment. Trump is not wrong. Pruitt is not wrong in what he just said to Ed Henry. As we know, they changed the emission standards so that cars under the Obama administration had been en route to having to improve their gas mileage by 2025. That rule has been rolled back. Coal, of course, the Trump administration is very much in favor of coal production, and Pruitt's been part of that. The administration pulled out of the Paris Climate Accords. All the things that Trump promised around the issue of deregulation on environmental matters, Pruitt has been right there, and he is very popular among conservatives for that reason. So what's become of this this particular spat around Pruitt is that many conservatives see this as a war on Pruitt ideologically by liberals rather than a drain the swamp issue that he's taking advantage of the government. And as long as it's framed that way, it's going to be very hard for President Trump to get rid of him because it will look like the liberals have sort of, you know, bagged a scalp, a scalp that is very popular among conservatives.
Jesse, what do you think about that? As Beth just pointed out, there is a ton of news coming out of the EPA.
Well, one of the things you also have to keep in mind is that, like Beth said, once you're popular with the conservatives, it's going to be more difficult that for the president to do anything to you. Jeff Sessions is still attorney general after all the things that President Trump has said about him. But Jeff Sessions has done the things that the president and the conservatives wanted. He's pushed back on immigration. He's pushed back on the Obama administration's push to reform police departments. Scott Pruitt's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
He's following the agenda that the conservatives want. He's pushing back on these regulations. They're changing some of the standards that came from the Obama administration. It's going to be difficult for the president to do something to him, given that he's doing what the conservatives want. But you never know with the Trump administration. He might, if Scott Pruitt continues to be the news for another news cycle, he might not have a choice.
You just mentioned quickly. You just mentioned Jeff Sessions, so I want to bring up this tweet that the president put out today. He said, "Do you believe that the fake news media is pushing hard on a story that I'm going to replace AG Jeff Sessions with EPA Chief Scott Pruitt, who is doing a great job but is totally under siege?" Beth?
Yeah, well, our reporting from NBC News is that President Trump has definitely mused about replacing Sessions with Pruitt. Pruitt is a lawyer, as we know. He's the Attorney General of Oklahoma. He's also been confirmed by the Senate already, so it would be fairly easy to slide him into that position if President Trump chose to do so. However, at this point, from our understanding, from our reporting, is that it's really just musing. President Trump does tend to sort of speak aloud his thoughts, and the folks around him feel that that's exactly what he was doing. He was just sort of musing. It wasn't an intent to absolutely do it. And that now that Pruitt is under so much pressure and it's under the Kleeglites of this bad publicity, President Trump has lightly backed off from that.
There's a lot to consider in this, as well as the fact that there are people waiting to be confirmed by Congress, including Mike Pompeo, nominated to take Rex Tillerson's place as Secretary of State. So issues of governmental functionality come into play here as well. Also, let's talk about the tariff story, which keeps on developing. President Trump's move to impose even stronger tariffs on Chinese imports, $100 billion. Here was the president this morning on WABC Radio.
We've already lost the trade war. We don't have a trade war. We've lost the trade war. The easiest thing for me to do would be just to close my eyes and forget it. If I did that, I'm not doing my job. So I'm not saying there won't be a little pain, but the market's gone up 40%, 42%, so we might lose a little bit of it. But we're going to have a much stronger country when we're finished.
China said today it will fight back with a major response. A lot of Trump supporters say that they're willing to wait this one out. They don't mind taking a hit in the stock market if Donald Trump can figure out this trade imbalance. Jesse, what do you have to say about this?
Well, the interesting thing about it is that a lot of these tariffs that the administration is talking about, they're going to rebound and hit the red states harder than anywhere else. Because when you start talking about how China's going to respond, they're going to respond in tariffs that are going to hurt a lot of the middle of America, a lot of the agricultural community, and a lot of the factory community that still survives in America.
But Donald Trump knows that. I mean, is he not afraid of the consequences?
Apparently not, because it doesn't seem like this most recent round of $100 billion tariffs, he even ran past anybody. It just seems like he came up with this and he's moving on his own without consulting anyone. There are a lot of Republicans who say they're going to sit back and wait, but I guarantee you the farm state Republicans are not sitting back and waiting, because this is going to hit them directly.
Beth, which country, China or the United States, is more vulnerable in this fight?
Well, I think the issue of vulnerability is really around the issue of strategy. President Trump doesn't seem to have a real strategy around this. I mean, there's no question that China has taken advantage of or defied a lot of the terms of the World Trade Organization in terms of intellectual property theft. There's lots of bad action coming out of that gigantic country, that gigantic economy, and policymakers have been complaining about it for many, many years. This is not just unique to President Trump. However, the fact that he goes out and he says, we're going to do this, and yet then his top economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, comes out and sort of cleans up after him in interviews afterwards, saying, well, you know, we're still working on this. We're going to work out a negotiation with the Chinese. The tariffs haven't even been imposed yet. We don't want pain. We don't want anybody to feel pain. Those are all things that he said this morning, reacting to the president's announcement of the increased tariffs. So there just doesn't seem to be a logical way that the administration plans to go about doing this in a way that actually shuts down China's bad behavior while at the same time protecting our economy over the short, medium, and long term.
You know, we also heard from Kudlow that he didn't hear about the latest proposal for tariffs until just last night.
Right. That speaks to the lack of strategy that I was saying.
I want to talk about one more thing happening today. Evangelical leaders are sitting down with the president to talk about Stephanie Clifford's, also known as Stormy Daniels, and the allegations that his lawyer, Michael Cohen, paid the porn star $130,000 to keep quiet about the affair that is alleged that she had with the president. I wonder if you can tell us, Donald Trump says that he does not know where that money to make the payment come from. He said so last night. Clifford's claim is that this nondisclosure agreement is null and void because the president never signed it and he wasn't part of it. What do you think, Jesse, in terms of where this is going and how much it comes back to roost with the president?
Well, one of the things that we're going to see is that we're going to see how important results are for evangelical leaders. They've said in the past that the reason why they support Donald Trump is because Donald Trump was going to get them results. Well, he's gotten a Supreme Court justice for them. They're getting a bunch of justices on the appeals court. How are they going to be able to go back to their evangelical voters in the midterm and say, you should vote on morals when they're trying to figure out what Donald Trump is doing with Stormy Daniels. So it's going to be interesting seeing their reactions after this meeting, especially since
Jesse,
it's going to be
clearer. Jesse, I got to cut you off. I'm sorry. Jesse Holland from the AP and Beth Fooey, thanks very much.
Thank you.